Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want you to welcome to the stage Paul Coleman. Why don't you jump to your feet? He's going to sing a couple of songs before we interview him, but I think you're going to be in for a treat. He's very talented, he's hilarious, and he's Australian. So in case you've never heard an Australian accent before, now you get to hear one. Isn't that awesome? Come on, give it up for Paul Coleman.
Whoa, that's... Maybe turn the reverb down just a little. You can sit down. It's okay. No clap back. Just no reverb, please. I'm 50. Wait. What's your name?
Fernando.
Yeah. You're a good-looking man, Fernando. I don't say that to all the people in California that I meet. But I appreciate that standing ovation. I've sung this song for 15 years. No one's ever stood at that moment before. Ladies and gentlemen, Fernando! Can you hear the drums, Fernando? I remember long ago another stormy night like this. Wait, what am I doing? That's an ABBA song if you've never heard it. Well, here I am in a river of questions. Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? Well, I see this life, it's valleys and mountains. And I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, the 405. Not the 91. Oh, no. I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from right. And I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, even Fernando's wife. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me like you say you do. Sing this with me. Hold me. Hold me.
Not again. Wait for it.
Well, I've questioned existence, meaning and relevance. Does the work I'm doing really matter at all? And I've questioned my friendships, alliance, dependence. Well, who will still be here when I fall? Don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. Yeah, the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. Sing it with me. Hold me. Come on, let's get some harmonies now. Hold me tighter than your iPhone drew. Yeah, hold me. Hold me tight. Hold me tight like a Snapchat buddy. Hold me. Pick it up. Here's the bridge. Oh, yeah. Only one thing doesn't change. Only one thing stays the same. All I know at the end of the day is your love remains. Yeah. Only one thing doesn't change. Only one thing stays the same. All I know at the end of the day is your love remains. And the one thing I don't question. You really love me like you say you do. Yeah, the one thing I don't question is you really love me. That's good, keep going. You really love me. That's it. Nice. I like that.
for this next song. And love mail. Have I got your interest?
If I was Jesus, I'd have some real long hair, a robe and some sandals is exactly what I'd wear. I'd be the guy at the party, turning water to wine.
Grape juice.
Yeah, me and my disciples, we'd have a real good.
With me, wait for it.
Whoa, I'd forgive you and adore you while I was hanging on your cross.
If I was G, yeah. I never got that response ever before either. Let's try it again. I'm so moving here. If I was Jesus, I'd have some friends that were poor. I'd run around with the wrong crowd, but man, I'd never be bored. I'd heal me a blind man, get myself crucified by politicians and preachers who got something to hide.
Not your preachers.
No. Hey!
And I'd lay my life down for you.
Everybody, here we go.
Whoa! And I'd show you who's the boss.
Let me hear you. Come on. If I was Jesus, if I was Jesus,
Jesus,
he says I didn't touch anything.
If I was Jesus, I'd come back from the dead. I'd walk on some water just to mess with your head. I'd know your dark little secrets. I'd look you right in the face. And I'd tell you, I love you with amazing grace.
Takes a lot, Emma. Takes a lot of grace, doesn't it, Emma? Amen. All right, here we go.
And I'd lay my life down for you.
Just the ladies.
I'd show you who's the boss.
Just the guys.
I forgive you and adore you while I was hanging on your cross. Yeah, and I'd lay my life down for you.
Just the sound man.
If I was Jesus, if I was Jesus, Jesus,
come on.
Oh, sit down. Come on. You guys got to get out more.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Paul. That was brilliant.
Oh, cheers, mate. Yeah. I'm glad you like it. I can't do anything else. That's actually true.
Some water. Stay hydrated.
Yeah, cheers.
So, who loved that, by the way? That was just incredible, wasn't it? So good. So good. But, Paul, again, just want to say a big thank you for coming out tonight. It's a C3 church where we love you. And I thought it'd be cool tonight just to get to know you a little bit, for all of us to get to know you. You've got quite a good story. But let's start from the beginning. You were born.
At a very young age.
You were born as a baby. Yes. Born as a baby. And you grew up in Australia.
I was born in England.
You were born in England, but you grew up in Australia.
When I was seven, we moved to Australia.
Moved to Australia. And what part of Australia?
Sydney.
Sydney.
Then Melbourne.
Then Melbourne.
Not Brisbane.
Not Brisbane, where I'm from. No. What was it like? Let's just let everyone here know. Like, what's it like growing up in Australia?
Australians are pretty rough around the edges, but what you see is what you get.
It's true.
So if you're the street sweeper or the president, if you're a jerk, you're a jerk. If you're a good guy, you're a good guy.
That's true.
So Australians kind of call it like it is.
Yep.
Like, for example, you're handsome.
Oh, thank you. I'm working on it. Had some things done recently, so I appreciate that. Yeah. My jawline, got it done. But anyway, California. When you move to California, you'll understand.
I got
to
get lipo, bro.
What are you laughing at? Why are you laughing at?
Seriously, I've been going through my fat Elvis period.
Okay.
I decided when I go back to Nashville right now, that's it. I'm done. Put the pizza down.
Yep.
Pick up the salad.
Come on.
So next time I come back, you'll go, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? So get a good look at the wombat.
Oh, so good. And I also wanted to thank you. You gave me a special coffee mug this morning from Nashville.
I was in the airport.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of you and I thought, I'm going to get you a coffee mug.
And I can't wait to drink coffee out of that mug.
Do you drink coffee?
A little bit.
Oh, tea?
No.
Did you see what happened directly after I gave you? And it involves your beautiful wife, Emma.
Okay.
Did you hear what her response was directly afterwards?
I can remember she was not happy
about
not
getting
a gift.
Let me just let you know what happened. Emma, relax. Relax. Emma, please just stand up and everyone know who you are. Emma, turn around. Okay. So this Emma is, and I think she's awesome. Reminds me a lot of myself, actually. Not really. Anyway, so Emma said, where's my gift? And I said, well, I didn't bring you anything. She goes, well, that's fine. I want something, though. I go, what do you want? She goes, I want you to do a rap or a spoken word tonight about me. So, Emma, during the sermon this morning, I was multitasking and I wrote you something. And I'm going to sing it for you right in front of your husband because he's going to bring the beatbox part of it. I want you to know that I'm definitely the wrong color for this genre. But Australian rapper, sort of like an oxymoron.
No Australians have made it in the rapping world. They've tried. It's all
okay,
awkward.
Okay, so this is the beat I need.
All right. Ow!
No, not that.
Okay.
Okay, just give me quietly. Here we go. Emma, this is for you. Oh, Emma, Emma, Emma. Nobody does it better. You're a force of nature, precious child of the Savior. You got the strength of 1,000. His love is flowing like a fountain out of your eyes, out of your heart. Oh, Emma, 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 he loves you forever. Just as you are, just as you are. Emma, you're a 10. That's what your husband says. And sometimes you pray, God, show me once again. Just how you see me, just how you see me. But he says to you, listen to that man I sent to hold your hand. He loves you as you are with all your crazy and bizarre, your gorgeous, messy passion. He says you're a 10. He says you're a 10. So Emma, 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 sweet Emma, Emma, believe it, girl. Believe it, girl. He loves you, precious girl. Wait. Because if you like the way you look so much. Girl, you should go and love yourself. Out. Please do not put that on YouTube. I have to work in this country.
That was awesome. All right, well, let's...
Be careful what you ask for, Emma.
Slight diversion there. we might get a little less reverb up here. It sounds like we're in some kind of tunnel. It's really kind of strange,
tunnel,
isn't it?
Tunnel.
Like there's just lots of echo, but that'd be great if possible. So, born as a baby in England, grew up in Australia. Let's talk about, when did you get into music? Talk about how did you get into music? How did that happen?
My dad was a singer, and I don't really know why I started playing music. Life for me was very painful. I've always had this personality, but with no self-control.
Which is a fruit of the spirit, which you should have. Anyway, continue.
Did you see the segue? See how I got that?
Yeah, boom.
Okay. So I just couldn't find the off button, and I just got bullied and beaten up everywhere I went, and music was something... when I stood on a stage, it was the only time people wanted to hear more from me. Mm. So music was kind of a refuge.
Mm. Wow. And that's where you started? And then,
yeah, and I started...
How old were you when you started?
I wrote my first song when I was 11. You'll never hear it. It's hideous.
Okay.
But as you know, growing up in Australia... you might think Hillsong is normal. That's kind of an anomaly. Mm. Like the C3 thing in Oxford Falls and Hillsong and maybe Planet Shakers and a few things. There's not many big sort of church groups. The Australian church is the local pub. Mm. Australia is considered by the United Nations as an atheist country. Mm. So when you grow up there and you're a musician and you're a follower of Jesus, you know, if you want to earn money, you play in the pubs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, play in the church for free on Sunday. So that's what I did. So the first songs that I started writing, I was writing them for people gradually getting drunk in a pub. Mm. Which is why, you know, they were kind of gospel songs to me. I just took the Dear God and the Amen off, not because I was afraid, but because I had to get paid. But for me, they were gospel songs.
So you grew up, you know, developing your gift, I guess, and then playing in a lot of pubs, which I'm not sure if you've ever been to an Australian pub, but it's quite a spectacle.
You can sing anywhere.
Not a place you want to be, generally. And then things went on, and you won a Dove Award. How did that come about? What happened there?
Well, I met these two guys, and I called the band the Paul Coleman Trio. In therapy, I found out that was perhaps a narcissistic phase.
Might have been, yes.
Just throwing it out there. And we kind of started in Australia, and there was really not that many people doing gospel music who were kind of professional. So after a while, we kind of became the big thing. Mm. And so every American Christian band that would come out, we would open for them because then they knew they had a crowd. And this band called Third Day came out, never heard of them. Oh, I did hear them. I thought it was like Eddie Vedder or like Hootie or something. Because it was like... I was like, okay, I've heard that before.
Eddie Vedder, very,
but
very,
I really
very
liked good. Them. They're great guys. So they invited us for us to open for them in America for a whole year. And during that process, we signed a record label, blah, 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 and Dove Award.
Dove Award.
And... got nominated for a Grammy in 2003.
You got nominated for a Grammy?
Nominated for a Grammy.
Wow. So how does it feel? I mean, for me, I know what it feels like to not win a Grammy. But how did it feel for you?
So you know what nominated means, don't you?
How did it feel for you to get nominated?
It means you didn't win, right?
To get your hopes up and then they give you the silver. How did it feel?
Some band won that we never heard of, Pots of Plastic. No, Jars of Clay.
Jars of Clay, okay. Jars of Clay.
There's a picture on Instagram, actually, somewhere of me and the singer of that band at his place, and he's holding the Grammy, and I'm trying to touch it. Yeah, they won. That was fine. It was nice. Fine. It was good to be there.
Yeah, it's still cool. Hey, getting nominated is still cool.
I reckon.
We always give the silver medalist a hard time, but they're still in the Olympics.
That's of all the losers...
still pretty good.
Of all the losers, they came first.
Exactly, yeah. You've got to give them a little bit of love. So you're an Aussie living in Nashville. What's that like?
Well, I'll tell you, it's awesome. Them people down there, they're kind people. They're awesome. The people in the South are super friendly. Like, they're super friendly people. And I love them. They're great. But yeah, living in the south of America growing up, it's not south of South America, the south of America. Like Nashville's kind of the buckle of the Bible Belt, if you like. There's more church buildings in Williamson County where I live than anywhere in the world per head of population. Wow. So people are great. The southern over-politeness is not my personal favorite. I'd rather know if you don't like me. I don't want to find out 10 years' time after you've been nice to me for all those years. I could probably handle the rejection up front a little easier. But then again, our culture in Australia is not perfect. So it's good living there.
Outback Steakhouse, what do you think about that?
It's one of my favorite American restaurants. I said this the other day, but I think one of the reasons why people love Australians is they really don't know us. Like, they watch The Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah.
They see Crocodile Dundee. They go to Outback Steakhouse and they go, I love that country. Hey, let me ask you these questions. Three things on the Outback Steakhouse menu that they advertise. I want you to tell me if in Australia you ever had one of these things.
Okay.
Bloomin' onion.
No.
Never heard of it, right?
Don't know what that is.
No. It's a deep fried onion. We never do it. Secondly, is it standard for you to put cheese on your fries?
No.
No. Thirdly, do you call it a prawn or a shrimp?
A prawn.
Right. And do you put it on the barbecue or not?
No.
Outback Steakhouse is from Tampa. Okay? It's a great restaurant, but it's from Florida. No rules, just wrong. But hey, it's a great place, and
it's a great place. We fully endorse it. We love you, Outback Steakhouse. Continue doing what you're doing.
I do remember once in LA when I first came here, a pastor had me speak at his church group, and he asked me a question, and he said, "Is it true that the toilet bowl spins the other direction in Australia?" And I said, "No, it's the water. The toilet bowl stays exactly where it is." He's like, "Oh, the water, right?"
Love it. Love it. Well, we're just going to go and jump into the deep end. We've had some fun in the shallow end.
That was the shallow end?
That was the shallow end. Let's just get to know you, Paul. We want to get to know you. But even in talking with you yesterday, you said one thing that really stood out to me. You said that you were singing about Jesus all over the world, some of the biggest stadiums. But you felt like you were still looking at Jesus from afar through a set of binoculars. So I want to just dig into your story a little bit.
Be careful what you say to a pastor.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So now I just want to talk a little bit about your story. It's a powerful story, and I wanted you just to dig into that a little bit. How you kind of really rediscovered Jesus in a way.
I got plenty of friends that have no faith in a God, plenty of atheist friends. And we never argue because it's like two fleas arguing over the dog you live on. You can't argue about faith. You can discuss it, but you can't argue about it. But I've got plenty of friends that don't believe at all. But for whatever reason, I always believed, I had no problem believing there was a God that made all this stuff. But I was a bit terrified to get close to him. I was just terrified. I was just scared. I never felt safe with anyone. I felt alone. I hated myself. I could never fit in, no matter what I did. I just felt lonely. I just felt lonely in my heart. I put on this big facade. My second therapist called it Onstage Paul, greatest guy in the world. Backstage Paul was this little kid cowering in the corner, terrified. I knew in my guts that God's love was the answer. If I could just come close to him. But I just kept him far away. I was scared. One thing I learned in therapy was that control is not the root of the problem. Fear is the root of the problem, but control is how you manage fear. People control in all sorts of ways. They do it by backing off. They do it by going over the top. They do it by overthinking, overtalking, self-medicating. Basically, you've got this fear in your guts, this fear. Am I okay? Am I really okay? I'm afraid that that's not true, that I'm really worth loving. And so what you do is you control your world to keep that fear away. And I did that. And so I followed him. I kept him on the horizon. You know, but I didn't want to invite him up close because I was terrified. And even though in my head I knew that God loved me, I self-medicated by being on stage. I wasn't a sex, drugs, and rock and roll guy. My drug of choice was affirmation and approval. Everywhere, every audience, I was really saying, do you love me? The problem is, it's never enough. It's just never enough. It's just no amount of audience, no amount of laughs, no amount of friends, no real amount of sex, no real amount of TV, no amount of love or affirmation, in my feeling, ever filled that.
Wow.
It just never filled it. And so I just felt so alone. And the worst thing about people thinking you're something is underneath it, you know who you really are. You're the one that when you go back to the hotel room or back to your room at night, that loneliness just comes back so strong and dark. And you've fooled everyone in the room.
And you were experiencing this. Meanwhile, you'd sing on a stage in front of 20,000 people, but then you'd go home and you'd feel like that.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell anyone because I was so ashamed.
Wow.
I felt so much shame, I couldn't tell anyone.
How many years do you think you felt like that for, where you couldn't tell anyone? You just kept it to yourself.
Well, I'm 50. You meant to say, no. Let's try that again. I'm 50.
What?
I know you faked it, but I still felt good by that. Thank you.
Not too much affirmation, though. Not too much.
Oh, see, sometimes I regress. Thank you.
It's helping you.
You should be like a part... Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah. How many years?
Well, I would say from when I was a little child until about 46.
Wow.
It's only been in the last 4 years that I've actually started really believing my songs. Mm. They're actually quite true. Funny that.
Wow. I think it's true. I think that we can, and this is what I guess concerns me somewhat about the younger generation, is because we're so used to social media being our norm, and we've kind of learned to live for likes, and we've kind of, whether you like it or not, especially younger people that have spent a lot of time on social media, you can get addicted to living for likes and living for affirmation from people, which is why we tragically see the... And I'm not against selfies. Do a selfie. Dabble in the selfie world. Dabble in it. That's my advice, is to dabble with selfies. But when we see people put selfies every single day, multiple selfies, it's like they're just desperately crying out, somebody tell me I'm beautiful. Somebody tell me who I am. Somebody like me.
So I just think they're called likes. That's what makes it.
And they're called likes. Yeah. So I think it's crazy that, but I think it's also crazy that people might be even thinking, man, you must have felt so loved and liked. I mean, you're in a stadium with 20,000 people liking you. Shouldn't that have been enough? Shouldn't that have been enough to make you feel whole and well? Shouldn't all that fame that so many people rely on to be their what fills them?
Just think of the social group at school.
Yeah.
You know, why am I okay? Because these people said I'm okay. Well, suddenly those people say you're not okay. Does that mean you're not okay anymore? Yeah. If your identity is up for grabs, which mine was, I had a great show or a great experience with someone, I walk out going, yeah, I'm worth something. If it went bad, so in other words, who I was able to be changed. And what I've come to is this, and once again, I never try to convince someone of this because only God can do that. But my job is to say my story, because a satisfied customer is more compelling than a great salesman. You can have that. It's not mine anyway. There's only one person that I've found can tell me who I am. And that's God. And he says, you know what, Paul? You're my kid. And when you wake up in the morning and the night before, you've looked at stuff on the internet you shouldn't, or you're a little bit hungover, or you've been criticizing other people, or you've been eating wrong, your gut's full of pizza, or you've been wasting your money, I love you just as much as when you were down at the front here with this freaking rockin' house band praising my name. My love for you doesn't change. When your breath's like a dog, when your hair's like a madman's breakfast, or when you're dressed up to go to a wedding and you look amazing, I don't feel any differently about you. Now, I don't know. I've been around, you know, 50 or 60 countries, every state of America. My testimony is that's the only love that's like that. Some people get close, but that identity of God loves me, that is security wherever you go. That is confidence wherever you go. It doesn't matter what people say. For crying out loud, I was at a marriage conference here yesterday. And they did all these exercises to people. Turn to your spouse and say this and do that. Well, guess what? I'm divorced. And I didn't feel lonely or like a loser once. Now, that's new for me.
Wow.
Because I might have felt very self-conscious and tried to project something different.
Wow. That's the unconditional love of God. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
That's God. I can't do that. I promise you. Trust me when I tell you. I gave insecurity a really good run. I'm a professional.
What would you say to somebody right now who feels like they're in your shoes where you used to be? What would you say to that person that feels insecure? Or maybe the person that doesn't know how to experience the love of God, doesn't even trust God to even open their heart to Him. What would you say to that person?
Can I take 30 seconds?
You can take 30 seconds.
That voice in your head that says to you, you're a loser. Everyone else in this room has got it together and you don't. She's pretty, you're not. He's worth something, you're not. You're not really that great. Nobody has problems like you. That voice is not God's voice. What God's voice is, it's that voice that you've always heard your whole life. And it says, you're loved, you're beautiful, you're worth something. There is incredible hope. Good things are ahead of you. And those two voices duke it out. And I would say to you, please, please be better than me. Really listen to God's voice. Because it's actually true, but it takes faith to believe it. You got to step out.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to think, I had to pray.
That's a good answer. Yesterday, you shared a couple of illustrations with me, and I remember asking you to share those today. Do you want to share them with everyone?
I will. I wouldn't call these visions. It sounds a little spiritual, but I wasn't exactly asleep, so I'm really not sure. Maybe they're pictures, like images. And let me just tell you them. The first one was, these are about my story. Rather than bullet points in an academic way, they're sort of pictures, visions, little movies about my story. The first one is, I'm in this little room. It's a dark, damp room. It's pretty small. It's just got a carpet, but the carpet's not nice. And I'm sitting in the corner. And I'm afraid, I'm alone, I feel powerless, I feel terrified. And there's a door, there's a window, but the light doesn't really hit my corner, so it's dark. And there's a door right in front of me, and the door is ajar, and in that next room is this really long room, about as long as this room, but a lot thinner. And it's got this massive, beautiful wooden table in the middle. And Jesus is sitting there with all these people and they're feasting. Amazing smells. Lamb and, if you're a vegetarian, tofu. Just like but it's sumptuous food and I can see it. And they're drinking and they're celebrating. And the food just keeps coming and it's amazing and I'm just salivating. And I just crawl out and I steal some bread off the table and curry back to my corner. I'm sitting here eating it And the door cracks open and Jesus comes in. I put the bread back. And he goes, hey. And I go, how's it? Hey. He goes, hey, how's that bread? And I go, bread, how's it? Bread, bread, bread. And I don't realize there's crumbs all over my chest. And he says, yeah, it's good stuff. He says, you know, there's a seat for you out there. He says, there's a seat. You don't have to sit here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. He says, yeah, I'm good. He shuts the door and I just go, oh. But for whatever reason, I just can't move. I just can't stand up. I'm terrified that everyone's going to laugh at me. I'm scared that they're going to laugh at me, that they're going to say, what are you doing, you loser? You could have been here all along. I'm so scared. And I can't figure out why I can't stand up. And then I hate myself, the fact that I can't stand up. And I'm just like, and I don't realize that this corner is called shame. And what happens is I sit there so long stealing food off that table that eventually I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I don't care if every single damn person in that room laughs at me. I'm not sitting here anymore. I don't care what they do. I'm done. And I get up and I walk out. And I'm expecting everyone to go, oh, good on you, mate. Yeah, nice to see you. What have you been doing in there, you little dark room over there? Whatever. That was weird.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were in a pub for a minute in Australia?
I did feel like I was in a pub.
Yeah. Except I didn't spit on you and throw glass at you and call you a foul name.
Or vomit.
Or vomit.
Appreciate that.
And a few people just go, hey, buddy. And I'm like, huh? And I sit down and Jesus goes, but he doesn't make a big deal of it. Hi. He just nods at me and just takes the attention off me and just starts talking to someone else, hands me some food. And I sit there and I go, oh, why did I take so long to sit in here? Why did I sit there for so long? The second one is, for those of you who don't really understand this idea of inviting God to be a part of your life, by the way, welcome. I hope you feel welcome. It's like your life's a house, two or three story house. What happens is when you invite Jesus in, this light comes out of every window, and it's this warm, real, not cheesy, it's not like a McDonald's sign, it's this warm, beautiful, earthy light, and it's warm, and people go, whoa, I want to go to that house. When you put a bunch of them together, the Bible calls it a city on a hill. Well, I invited Jesus into the hallway. But like I said before, I was terrified. I didn't want to invite him in the rest because my house was really dark and I was embarrassed. I was ashamed about it. So I just kind of left him there. But I wanted everyone to think this was a Jesus house. So I saved up and I bought this super expensive lighting system. And I put it into each room with lights facing this way and that. Cost me everything I had. And eventually I turned on the light. And people would go, man, there's a Jesus house. Give that guy a Dove Award. That's a Jesus house. But there was a few people that kind of really knew what Jesus' light really looked like. And they're like, something's dodgy in that place. It's not quite right. It's dodgy. Dodgy, mate. Something's feral in that place. That's not right. And a few of them would come by. And I invited some people in. I invited this beautiful girl in there. Gorgeous. Brisbane girl.
Brisbane.
Invited this girl from Brisbane to come and live there. And she got part. She said, what's in those rooms? I go, da-da-da-da-da-da. All right. And she goes, what's this? What are these lights? I go, oh, well, about that. She goes, this isn't real Jesus light. And I go, yeah, I know. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get rid of it. I promise. I promise tomorrow I'll get rid of it. Well, that happened every day. And eventually she said, you know what? I don't believe you anymore. Adios, amigo. And she left. And I just sat in those rooms and I kept fixing the lights and I just lost my desire for it, but I kept doing it because I didn't want everyone to think it wasn't a Jesus house. And eventually I'm just exhausted and I walk into the hallway and I'm like, oh, that's right, Jesus. So he goes, hey. And I go, yeah. And he goes, how are you? And I go, I'm good, good. And he goes, really? I go, no. And he goes, what is it? And I go, like, you don't know. I have to tell you. And he goes, just tell me, come on, whatever. I'm like, Just tell me. So I said, I hate this life. I hate my house. I'm so sick of this lie. And he said, what do you want to do about it? I said, what I want to do, and I don't know if I can do what I want to do. And he goes, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to tear this crap down. I want to stop pretending, but I don't know how to do it. And he goes, I'll help you. So we went from room to room, and we started pulling this thing down, and eventually the house went dark. And I got some really sort of terrified texts and emails. Dude, what's happening? Your house went dark. Where's Jesus gone? What happened? But then there was other discerning people that said, dude, I know what's happening. I'm with you. Yeah. And so bit by bit, I invited him into these rooms, and some of them, man, were dark. Like, I didn't want to go in there. There was noises. There was weirdness. I felt shakes going near it. Jesus walked in there, and he said, you can't push out darkness. You just got to turn on the light. And I'm the light. I'm like, so eventually light started to shine out the windows of my house. And you know, there's quite a few dark ones left, but we're working on them. But there was enough light. And eventually I said, hey, you know that girl I married, the one that, you know, traded me in? He's like, yeah. And I said, could you go tell her we're all good now? And he's like, doesn't work like that. I go, what do you mean? Just tell her it's all fine. I know I was lying back then, but she's got to want to do that, bro. I can't make her do that. And maybe that's not what's supposed to happen. I don't know. And I said, oh. And he said, just be in your house. Just let me shine. Keep facing the darkness. Let me shine out. When people come to you, tell them about my light. Tell them about me. And you don't have to have a cheesy answer. I'll tell you how to say it each time. You just need to stop for 30 seconds on the couch and figure it out. But I'll talk to you. And I know it's him talking because he has an American accent. So,
it's in the message version.
Yeah. No, but that's the two things that I would say that describe.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you for your openness and your vulnerability. And I think that there are probably some people here tonight, and maybe you feel like that person. Yeah, you can jump up if you want to jump on the guitar. Why don't we have everyone close their eyes and bow their heads? We're going to close up the service in just a minute. But there's probably, I think there's a few people here tonight, and you kind of feel like that person sitting in the corner of that room. And you feel like you're that person in shame. And meanwhile, in the room next door, Jesus has an amazing seat for you at his table. And he so desperately wants to invite you in. And he so wants you to be sitting there by his side with him. But because of shame or because of guilt or because of sin or because of something you did last week or something you did 20 years ago that you can't let go of, you find yourself stuck in that corner of shame, stuck in that place where you're living off breadcrumbs when Jesus has called you to so much more. He's called you to live an amazing life. He's called you to dine at that table by him, by his side. Friend, if that's you tonight, I don't want you to leave tonight without taking a seat at the table that you're supposed to be at. I don't want you to leave tonight knowing about Jesus. I want you to leave tonight knowing about who Jesus is. Religion's taught us that you know about a God, but relationship says that we actually have a relationship with God. So tonight, if you're, maybe you feel like that person in the corner of the room, maybe you feel like you're not actually at the dinner table with Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you right now, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you as we close the service. So ready? If that's you, 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Who else is there? Who else is there tonight? Who else is there tonight? They're sitting there and they feel like they're in that dark room of shame, but they know there's a space at the table. There's a space at the table for you. And Jesus has such an amazing plan for your life. Who else is there tonight? We've got a couple of minutes left. Who else is there tonight? Who else would love to take a seat at that table by Jesus? Who needs to start a relationship with him? Maybe you're walking with him at some point, but for whatever reason, you're distant from him, you're disconnected from him, or maybe you've never actually made that choice to, to start a relationship with Jesus, friend, tonight is your night to start that relationship. Who else is there tonight? Just raise your hand right now. Just wave your hand at me. Who else is there tonight? Who else is there? Who else is there? Thank you, Jesus. I kind of feel like there's a couple of hands that go up. I feel like there's still one more person. Thank you. Who else is there tonight? Thank you. Thank you. Who else is there tonight? Thank you. Who else is there? Come on. Don't leave here tonight knowing about Jesus. Leave here tonight knowing who Jesus is. Take your seat at the table by your Savior, where you're meant to be. Who else is there? Come on. Who else is there? Just give me a wave right now. Just give me a wave right now. I still feel like, thank you. I feel like there's still somebody else. Sometimes I get a peace about it when I know that we're good, but I still feel like there's somebody else here, and there's a battle going on in your heart right now. You kind of feel like your stomach's all twisted, or maybe you feel like, you know, you got butterflies in your stomach, or you feel your heart pounding. That could very well mean this is you. So for the last time, let me ask, just who else is there? Is there anybody else that needs to thank you? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Tonight is your night, friend. This is the greatest choice you can make in your life. The greatest thing you could ever do is make a choice to follow Jesus and to step out of that corner of shame and take your seat at the table. Is there anybody else? Amen. You can open your eyes, church. Come on, let's give Jesus another mighty shout of praise. Yeah. So about a dozen of you just raised your hands just then, and I love that you did that. What we're going to do in just a moment, I'm going to jump off this stage here, and we're all going to stand, and this place is going to turn into a celebration party. You see, by putting your hand up and saying, man, I want to follow Jesus, that's the very first step in you actually taking your life and following Jesus Christ. So I want to jump off this stage, and for all of those of you that raised your hands, about a dozen of you that raised your hands, I would love to jump off the stage and just very quickly shake your hand, meet you. I want to pray a quick prayer with you. Everybody who's sitting in this building has done this probably at some point in their life. So why don't we stand, church? Come on, let's turn this place into a praise party. Come on, those of you that raised your hands, come down the front, grab the person's hand next to you, get them to come with you. Come on, come on, come down the front. Come on down. This is your night. This is your time. Come on, take your seat at the table. There. Who else is there? Come on. Come on, grab the person's hand next to you. Don't be afraid. Who else is there tonight? Amen, amen. Amen. Proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. Come on. Amen. Proud of you guys. Proud of you. Amen. Amen. Wow. I know you may feel a little bit uncomfortable. But the thing is, God has such an amazing plan for your life. And the choice you made tonight to push your hand up, follow Jesus, come down the front here, is the greatest choice you'll ever make in your life. And I just feel like you're taking that seat at the table where you're meant to be. You've been in shame long enough. Now it's time for you to take that seat at the table. What's your name again, sir? I can't remember. I've met you once before.
Iram.
Iram. And God's got such a plan for your life, my friend. He has such a mission for you. I just feel like God wants to say that word to you, mission. He's got a mission he's going to do through you. He's going to use you to do such a mighty work on this planet. You're going to do such an amazing thing with your life, my friend. Maybe the devil's told you a lie that you won't. Maybe he's told you, man, you're not the man for the job. Maybe he's told, I don't know what he's told you, but I know that God wants to tell you that you're going to be man on a mission. God is going to put a mission in your hand and a mission in your heart. And maybe he's already told you the mission, but you've given up on it. Maybe he's told you, maybe he put a dream in your heart when you were a kid, but you gave up on it, or someone told you you couldn't do it, or whatever. I'm just telling you, my friend, God looks at you and he's so proud of you. And he's also very excited right now because he knows that now, because you are able to come down here, you're stepping out and you're stepping onto that mission field and you're going to do an amazing thing in Jesus' mighty name. Well, we're almost out of time, but I want us to pray a prayer all together. And we do this all the time, church, so we know how to do this. But I'm going to say a prayer and we're all going to pray this together. And this is a simple salvation prayer, just to ask Jesus into your life. So are you ready to do this, guys? You ready? Well, let's pray together, church. Come on. Dear Jesus, thank you for hanging on a cross for my sin and for my shame. I step out of that corner of shame and I take the seat at the table that I was supposed to be seated at all along. I accept you as my Lord and I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, this is exactly why we do church. This is exactly why we do church. So we're going to sing one last song. Once we finish that song, you guys can hang here for a minute. I'm going to invite, this is a little bit of a celebration song that Paul wanted to do as we kind of close the night out. I'm going to invite everyone to come forward if you want to. But as soon as we finish this song for you guys down here, I want you to see our ministry team over here. They're going to pray with you. They're going to give you a Bible and a gift from us. We love you guys. Come on, come down the front if you want. Come on, take it away, Paul.
Hey, Drew.
Yes.
I'm going to ditch the song I was going to sing. I'm singing the song I originally wanted to sing.
Okay.
But I want you to sing it with me.
Okay. What is the song?
You know the song. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if you just know the chorus, or even if you just ad-lib words, or like if I sing it, you repeat it. Okay. Yeah, well, here I am. Question. And I pour my heart out to a listening ear. You see this life, it's valleys and mountains. And I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, down to C3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with the Brisbane boy up here.
Yeah.
Well, I've questioned my reasons. This life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from
right.
Well, I question all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. Yeah, the one thing I don't question. Love me like you say you do. So hold me. Yeah, hold me. I've questioned existence, meaning and relevance. Does the work I'm doing really matter at all? And I've questioned my friendships, alliance, dependence. Well, who will still be here when I fall? Sing it with us. Yeah, the one thing I question is you. You really love me like you say you do. Yeah, the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. So hold me.
Like a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Hold me.
Like a Chick-fil-A sauce.
Hold me. Hold me like a double-double animal style. Hold me. Okay, so you people that came down the front and all the rest of you, here's the deal. Following Jesus is the opposite of being boring and predictable. You don't have to be religious. You can talk to him when you're on the toilet, as well as in the church building. He listens to you when you're mad, when you're angry, and he wants to fill you with love for yourself and then love for everyone else. I gotta tell you, my whole life I've worried what people think about me, and it's like a jail. But he's the key, and he opened up the door and he says, listen, it's what I think about you that counts, and you're my freaking kid, and I love you. So now, instead of worrying about yourself, you can listen to me as I show you the exciting life of just loving other people and showing them my love. Come in closer, brother. Closer. Closer. Let's sing it together. Come on.
You're the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say.
You got it, yeah.
You're the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You're the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me.
Oh, that's pretty.
You really love me.
Stop it.
Like you say.
What do these people do now?
Do another song.
Another one?
Yeah, do one more.
Yeah. Am I allowed to sing whatever song I guess it's a Jimi Hendrix song. Am I allowed to sing whatever song I want?
Yeah.
All right, this is a famous Australian song, and Mr. Soundman, make me louder than the band. Not loud enough, come on. That's what I'm talking about.
Traveling in a fried out combi on a hippie trail that's full of zombie. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast.
And she said,
do you come from a land down under? Where women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear that thunder? Oh, you better run, you better take cover.
What's that? I'm saying, but the Pentecostals do. Oh yeah, 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 la ba, la 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 bomba.
My bed from a man in Brussels.
He was
6'4", full of muscles.
I said, do you speak my language?
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite.
And he said, oh, do you come from a land down under? Women blow and men plunder. Oh, yeah. Can't you hear that thunder? Oh, yeah. Oh, you better run, you better take cover. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Yeah, oh. Yeah, oh. Hey, 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 oh.
With a slab jaw, not much to say. Said to the man, are you trying to tempt me? Cause I come from the land of plenty.
And he said, oh. And you sing the next line though. Come on, here we go. Yeah, oh, yeah.
together one more time. Put your hands together one more time for Paul Coleman. You might want to get one of his CDs. They are selling out there in the foyer. For how much, Paul? How much are the CDs? $100? $50? $200?
$10.
What?
Tonight's special, 2 for $20.
2 for $20? 2 for $20, 4 for $40, 1 for $10. If you're bad at math, you're going to get ripped off. I'm kidding. But grab his CD. How good was tonight? Come on, what a great night we've had. Don't forget, there's an after party happening right now in the foyer. Get out there, have some fun. We love you guys. See you next Sunday.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.